Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of NHPC Limited, hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rupesh Sankhe from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sankhe.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all for the Q1 FY24 conference call of NHPC. So I take this opportunity to welcome the management of NHPC, represented by Mr. R.K. Vishnu sir, our Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. R.P. Goyal sir, Director of Finance. So we'll begin the call with a brief overview by the management and followed by Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to Mr. R.K. Vishnu sir for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rupesh, and good morning, everybody who is connected to this conference. It's really my pleasure to interact with you on this quarterly financial results, Q1 of FY24 of NHPC. In fact, before we really discuss the detail, let me broadly tell you that this particular quarter of FY24, we have sustained the performance which we have achieved in the past few quarters, and that's the broader impression which can be drawn. The details are really available. I think all the participants must have gone through the numbers. But broadly, let me tell you the major highlights, that as far as generation is concerned, we have almost generated 5% lower than the last quarter, corresponding quarter in the last FY23, and that was mainly because of low water availability in the rivers, which is, of course, beyond the control of anybody. It's a natural resource. And the plant availability factor, which is the real, you know, the measure of the performance of the plant, there we have performed very well, and we have remained above 90%, in fact, 94%, this quarter also. Now, that shows that machines availability were there. Had there been enough water in the river, we would have generated almost a similar amount of energy what we generated last year. But nevertheless, I mean, this next quarter, particularly July onwards, we have been generating quite a good amount of energy. So Q2 would be much better than Q2, corresponding Q2 of last year. As regards to the revenue, let me tell you, this revenue was approximately 3% higher than the corresponding quarter last year. And that was mainly because, though the generation was less, because we had certain arrears because of the tariff finalization of 2014-2019 period, and we received certain amount on account of that. So the revenue was 3% higher than the corresponding quarter last year. But we have maintained the PAT. PAT is almost the same. The level of the PAT is same this quarter also. So broadly, as I told you in the beginning, that we have almost sustained the same performance as the last quarter in the corresponding quarter in the last financial year. So this was on the broadly on the numbers. Then there were other achievements on the physical fronts also in this quarter, where we are trying to, you know, focus mainly on two things. One is that we have two major assets which we want to capitalize gradually and improve our balance sheet. And that is, there are two projects. One is Subansiri and the other one is Parvati 2. And then second is, this financial year, we are focusing more on the capital expenditure. So the last year, capital expenditure was of the order of something like 7,700 crore. This year, we have kept a target of something like 25%-30% more than that. And this particular quarter, what we are discussing today, we have been able to achieve the target, and subsequently also we are doing that. So this is a big thing where we are focusing. So this financial year we'll be achieving more of capex. That is by ensuring the constant, uninterrupted execution of the activities at all the projects which are under construction. So this is just a broader impression of what we achieved in this quarter. I think Director of Finance, I have with me, in case he has to say anything, then otherwise we can hand it over to the participants for some questions or the queries.
Good morning, friends. I am going to share with you quarterly set of numbers with the detailed analysis. The NHPC board has adopted quarterly financial results for the period ended 30 June 23 in its meeting held on 11th August 23, and the same has already been communicated to exchanges. Brief highlights of the financial results and important updates on the company are as under. During first quarter FY24, our power stations have achieved generation of 7,787 million units as against 8,165 million units generated in corresponding period of the previous year, which is about 5% lower. This is mainly due to lower water availability in Kishanganga, Roktak and Dholinga power stations. Our PF for first quarter FY24 stands at 94.13% against the corresponding previous period of PF of 98.57%, which is about 4% lower. This is mainly due to less PF in Kishanganga, Roktak and TLDP 4 power stations. For Q1 FY24, company has earned revenue from operations of rupees 2,571 crore as against rupees 2,491 crore in the corresponding previous period, which is about 3% higher. The increase in revenue is mainly due to increase in interest from beneficiaries on account of finalization of tariff for tariff period 2014-19 by rupees 70 crore. Other income for Q1 FY24 is of the order of 279 crore as against rupees 216 crore during the corresponding previous period, which is about 29% higher. This is mainly due to increase in dividend income from NHDC by rupees 28 crore and increase in insurance claim on account of business interruption cost by rupees 34 crore for Sewer 2 power station. During Q1 FY24, the generation expenses have gone up from rupees 270 crore to 518 crore, net increase of 248 crore, which is mainly due to applicability of water cess in state of Uttarakhand, Sikkim and Himachal Pradesh. During Q1 FY24, the employee cost has come down from rupees 307 crore to 297 crore. During Q1 FY24, there has been decrease in finance cost from rupees 137 crore to 115 crore, net saving of 22 crore, which is mainly due to change in the average rate of interest by rupees 5 crore and decrease due to repayment of loans by rupees 17 crore. During Q1 FY24, the depreciation and amortization expenses have come down from rupees 287 crore to rupees 276 crore, which is mainly due to completion of 12 years of life of Sewer 2 power station during this year. During Q1 FY24, other expenses have come down from rupees 507 crore to 370 crore. This is mainly due to impairment of investment of rupees 106 crore in respect of Roktak Downstream Hydro Electric Power Corporation Limited, a subsidiary company during corresponding previous period. Further, CSR expenses have also decreased by rupees 30 crore in current quarter. During Q1 FY24, we have earned PAT of rupees 1,053 crore as against 1,050 crore of corresponding previous period, which is marginally higher, and the reasons for decrease increase in the line items we have just discussed. During Q1 FY24, the incentive position is as under. PF based incentive is zero in this quarter as against 171 crore in corresponding period of previous year. Division charges are 12 crore as against 72 crore in corresponding previous periods. The PF incentive for the quarter is nil due to change in methodology for recognizing incentive income. The PF incentive shall be recognized once the capacity charges of a particular power station is fully recovered, and thereafter we will recognize the PF incentive. So the PF recognition of PF will be back-ended now. Capex during Q1 FY24 is rupees 1906 crore as against 1161 crore in the corresponding period of previous year on consolidated basis. The annual general meeting of the company for 22-23 is scheduled to be held on 31st August 2023. Other major highlights of the company: on realization front, NHPC has received 1,647 crore from the beneficiary states against sale of energy during Q1 FY24 as against 1,357 crore in the corresponding period of previous year. Trade receivables as on 30th June 23 stands 6,736 crore as against 5,887 crore as on 31st March 23. This includes rupees 3,059 crore as unbilled debtors as on 30th June 23 as against 2,757 crore as on 31st March 23. The net receivable out of total reported trade receivables as on 30 June are as below. Reported trade receivables are 6,736. This includes unbilled debtors 3,059. So billed receivables are 3,677. Out of that, debtors for billed discounting, for which we have already received the amount from beneficiary states, but due to accounting compulsion, we could not reduce the debtors. The amount is 847 on this account. Then debtors dues converted to installments under late payment surcharge and other orders. That is 1483. So net amount of debtors due is 1347, and out of that more than 45 days only 363. So our debtors position has improved a lot. Unbilled debtors mainly include impact of AFC billed versus AFC claimed as per regulations 2019-24, including security expenses rupees 1584 crore, unbilled debt sale for the month of June 23 of rupees 851 crore, and energy shortfall of rupees 347 crore. Net trade receivables as on 9th August 23, that is current position of the debtors, stands at rupees 1728 crore only, which includes more than 45 days dues of rupees 230 crore. The major receivables out of billed receivables are as under: J&K 443, UP 349 crore, Punjab 233 crore, Haryana 139 crore, West Bengal 110 crore, and others 454 crore. So total billed debtors as on 9th August are 1728 crore. Out of that, more than 45 days are for J&K 156 crore, UP only 10 crore, and others 64 crore. So more than 45 days debtors are only 230 crore. This is all from my side. Now the forum is open for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask questions at this time. We'll take the first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Sir, first question is, what is the status of Subansiri and Parvati 2? Are we are you on the track? Because I saw in the CEA that Power T2 is slipping to FY25. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mohit. In fact, let me tell you first about Subansiri. Subansiri, in fact, physical progress is such that we are all set to now commission the project. And we'll restart the work immediately after the monsoon in the month of November. And we'll try to complete everything, including the commissioning of the unit in the month of January and February. So we propose to commission two units in FY24. There seems to be no uncertainty as such in Subansiri. So this project is going to come in this FY24. As regards to Parvati 2, yes, in fact, we had planned to commission at least a couple of units in this FY24. But because of the recent floods, which you know that in Himachal Pradesh, there were torrential rains, and because of which it was almost a disaster kind of a situation. This project is the one which got impacted the most, and which has in fact disturbed all the approaches, access routes, everything. So there is certain kind of impact on the schedule, and we are trying to minimize that. But yes, at the moment there is very little possibility of commissioning the first unit in this financial year. But we'll still try to reassess the situation next month as soon as the monsoon is over. We'll try to do something. But if it goes to FY25, it'll be early FY25 in the month of April only.
Understood, sir. My second question is on the change in accounting, especially for the PAP-based incentives. Is there any reason for us to change the recognition and make it more back-ended now?
No, there is no change in the regulations. It has been changed at our own only. Actually, what was happening in first and second quarter, we were recognizing PAP incentive, but in some of the portions. But in last quarter or third quarter of the financial year, there were situations that we had to reverse the PAP incentive due to non-achievement of the NAPF. That's why we have changed the system. We will recognize the PAP incentive in later quarters only to avoid the reversal.
So my last question is on, do you see any the impact of the IAGC code, which is expected to happen on 1st October 2023? Would it impact our earnings in any way on account of PAF or DSM?
DSM has impact on our revenue due to change of the system.
My question is on the IEGC code, sir, which is going to come or applicable from 1st of October 2023.
IBC code, I don't think is going to really impact
IGC.
It's really going to impact much on this. But still, I think we have to assess the situation. I think at the moment we are not in a position to comment anything on this. So we'll make a statement maybe after ascertaining what exactly is going to happen.
Sure, sir. Understood, sir. Thank you, Ambassador, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Prashant Sheer Sagar from Univet Corporate Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Good morning, sir. Just a question on the Subansiri Middle and Subansiri Upper hydro projects which you have been allotted. Just wanted to reconcile the capacity of those projects. In your press release, you have stated that Subansiri Upper is 2000 megawatts capacity and Subansiri Middle is 1800 megawatts. While in the annual report of yours on page 81, the capacity mentioned is Subansiri Middle is 1720 megawatts and Subansiri Upper is 1,500 megawatts. Can you help us with the reconciliation, sir? How is the figure? How are the figures?
Actually, see, these two projects have been recently taken over, and we are in the process of updating the DPRs also of these two projects. So the capacities which were earlier marked for these two projects have been revised now. And we foresee that we can generate, we can install a larger capacity at these two plants, though it will be clear once we update the DPRs at both the projects. So at the moment, what we see is that 2,000 megawatt is the upper Subansiri capacity potential, and 1,800 is the middle Subansiri capacity potential. So with these two figures, we are going ahead at the moment.
Yeah, but in the annual report, when you had mentioned 1,500 for Subansiri upper, what was the basis of the calculation, or is it just that you didn't have the data with you, or how does it?
I think we need to check in what respect that has been mentioned, but this is the fact what I just mentioned to you.
Okay. And second question is about Subansiri, both middle and this thing. Land acquisition has been done, or is it, because you have taken it over from the private players, so had they done the land acquisition, or they have just incurred the initial cost for it?
So that is an activity at a later stage. At the moment, they have done some initial activities where some investigations have been done and some kind of pre-DPR stage activities have been done. So at that stage itself, we have taken over these two projects. So all other things we have to complete ourselves.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. That was my question. Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Rohit Natarajan from Antic Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So my question is more to do with the regulated equity. We guided in the last quarter that the regulated equity will be 162 billion or 16,239 crore by the end of FY24. Now that there are some slippages expected from Parbati, how does that number look like, both for FY24 and FY25?
For the last quarter of FY24, there may be some addition into regulatory equity on account of Subansiri lower. Otherwise, it will remain at the present level.
Okay, you mean to say it will be broadly remaining at 13,000 crore
as
such? Okay.
For last 1 or 2 months, there may be some addition.
But you are reasonably sure that this number will be by the end of FY25 going to 22,600 crore, that number?
That is for sure.
Okay. My second question is to do with the IPO or the stake sale of Clean Energy Arm. If you could just elaborate on that part.
There is no plan at present assets. In case we add some capacity in the solar or wind and that is transferred to our 100% subsidiary company. And if we require the resources, then only we will go for IPO of that our subsidiary company. Otherwise, there is no plan assets.
At the moment, I think we have no plans.
And my final question is on the pumped hydro storage project. If you could just elaborate, how much is the MOU that you have tied up till date, and which are the projects that are expected to go in construction, at least in the near term? What could be the timelines for it?
Dibang PTA, is asking?
You are asking about Dibang?
Pumped hydro storage projects.
Pumped hydro storage, in fact, is the new business domain of NHPC where we are trying to enter in very, very aggressively. And we have recently signed one MOU for the implementation of 4 projects, about 7,000 megawatt in the state of Maharashtra. Also, we have entered into an MOU with state of Gujarat also for development of PSPs. And then government of Odisha and government of Andhra Pradesh. So there are 4 states where we are already, moved ahead. And this is going to be one big business opportunity for NHPC in the near future, because we see the pumped storage plants as the most emerging opportunity in the power sector. And, we try to jump on it at an early stage. So this is how we are doing now. Our all teams are there on the ground. They have started working on this. So pumped storage, yes, is going to be the mainstay for NHPC now in the near future.
So I appreciate this part, but sir, if you could give us some, target as in the projects that you are looking for in the near term, as in one or two projects that will be commissioned by FY27 or 28. I mean, what are the timeline that you would want to see in these projects?
See, any pumped storage plant, once you start the construction activities on the ground, is going to take not less than 4 to 5 years. So that is after the start of construction activity. But before that, there are certain investigation matters, there are certain clearances, there are certain compliances. So all that we have started doing, and now that period is something like 1 to 1.5 years. So what we see now is the first pumped storage commissioning maybe by the year 2029 or FY29. That is the first project which we can commission in Maharashtra. That is the vision at the moment, but not before that.
Okay, and what will be the costing like? What could be the costing per megawatt? Is it fairly good to say that number will be close to 9 crore per megawatt, or, you know, there are multiple figures that are floating around. What is your assumption at this point in time?
Yeah, in fact, if you see, there are different kinds of pumped storage plant schemes. There is one which is on the main river stream, where you, if you really make a project, it's going to cost you much more than what you are making off the stream. So now we are focusing off the stream projects also, which are costing us less. If you ask me per megawatt cost, if it is on the river stream, it is around 8 to 9 crores per megawatt. But if it is off the stream, then it is 6 to 6.5 crores per megawatt. Now, depending upon the type of scheme, then depending upon the topography, the particular outcome of the investigations there, of course, this figure may vary 5 to 10% here and there, but this is broadly the number.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aniket Mittal from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A few questions. Firstly, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you're planning for a 20 to 25% higher capex than FY23. If you could, one, provide what that amount is for FY24 and break that up across different plants.
I think the total is 10,700 crores, DSR? 10,857 crores. He'll give the Director of Finance, will give the detail.
Total capex, as if we have planned, is 10,857 crores, including our subsidiary and joint ventures. And if you are interested in project-wise numbers, I can share the same. The Parthi 2, we have planned for 595 crores. Subansari, we have planned 787 crores. Dibang, 712 crore. Then Sista, for our project which is under investigation, 25 crore. Dugar, 320 crore. Then Sawalkot, 143 crore. Subansiri Upper, 121 crore. Subansiri Middle, 217 crore. Then Solar as a whole, 2517 crore. Then our Pakaldul in subsidiary company, 1215 crore, Kiru, 857 crore, Kavar, 220 crore, then Lenko Tista, 6 project, 1151 crore, Rangin 4, 455 crore, Ratale, 454 crore, that's all.
And the numbers that you've given for the subsidiaries and JVs, those are your share of the capex, or is it the entire capex?
This is entire capex.
The entire. Okay. The next question was, in your opening remarks, you also mentioned that there are certain areas that you've received for this quota. Just wanted to understand, what has been the total amount, for what purpose has it come, and is there any portion in that is sustainable in nature?
That is a small number, only 80 crore, which is on account of area sales, including interest.
Okay. So this is like a one-time item. That's
correct. Yes, this is one-time.
Okay. Fair. Just on Parbati, actually, wanted to understand, what is the type of work that is remaining on the tunnel? I mean, has the tunnel been completed? You know, have we started with the lining work? You could throw some light there.
Yeah, in fact, see, the main issue was there in the Parvati was the excavation of the tunnel, which was becoming too challenging. And we were doing excavation by two different construction technologies. One was through tunnel boring machine, the other was through drill and blasting method. Now, while we were about to complete this excavation, and this all disaster took place last month, we are left with hardly anything now, I think less than 100 meters. 65 meter is the only portion which is left for excavation now. And we have made preparations to start lining immediately. And we have also planned, you know, to do this lining in an expeditious manner, you know, by deploying the most efficient construction technology. So that is what we are trying to do here. But this has been a setback. I mean, the floods in July, in March. Otherwise, Parvati 2, everything is online. Machines are boxed up. The tunnel is also excavated fully, almost except 65 meters. So we don't see any other uncertainty except that we get some time now to complete this excavation and start the lining.
Okay. What is the amount of lining work that's remaining?
It's 2,900 meters, so approximately 3 kilometers, you can say.
Fair. Just one clarification. So you mentioned that there could be some amount of regulatory equity addition to Subansiri as the two units commission. Just to understand, how would the tariff over here get determined? I mean, would you take the entire capital cost and you divide that by 4? How does that process work?
In fact, tariff will be fixed by dividing 4. In case we commission 2 units, total capital expenses will be divided by 4 and tariff will be fixed accordingly. So in the initial period, tariff will be high. And in books, expenditure will be more than what we would be able to recover in tariff. But that will be for some period only.
So you will essentially take the estimated project costs for Subansiri and then divide it by 4 if you're, let's say, commissioning 2 units each and count that as regulated equity.
Yes, for tariff purpose, actual expenditure will be divided by 4 and the tariff will be fixed accordingly.
Okay, fair. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is in regard with Subansiri. By when do we expect it to commission and what kind of cost overruns have we seen on this?
Sorry, I couldn't, your voice was not really clear. Can you say it again, please?
For Subansiri, when do we expect it to get commissioned and what kinds of cost overruns have we seen for Parvati 2 as well as Subansiri?
Yeah, as I said in the beginning, Subansiri lower now. We are all set to commission the project is all because of this intervening monsoon season that we had to put everything on hold to commission the project. Now we will restart the activities in the month of October, say mid of October, and in another 3 months' time we will try to commission everything, you know, at least the first unit and the second unit subsequently. So as I said, as far as lower Subansiri is concerned, there is no uncertainty left now. These two units will come in this financial year. Parvati 2, I just mentioned, we had a plan to commission 2 units in this financial year, but there has been a setback because of some floods in Himachal Pradesh. So I think these 2 units will go in early FY25.
And what kind of cost overruns have we seen because of this delay?
Subansiri, as we are doing it on schedule, hardly any cost overrun, except that 3-4 months IDC would be there. But regarding Parvati 2, yes, there could be some additional costs which will be incurring on making, you know, damages good, which have happened because of the floods. And some other expenditure like, you know, expeditiously completing the lining and then deploying some construction technologies which are normally non-conventional. So because of that, some cost increase could be there, but it's not really substantial, which is going to cost much on the, or impact much on the tariff.
Okay. And in terms of pumped hydro storage projects, what is the business model and what kind of margins do we expect from these MOUs, and when, how long and when do we see that execution starting from?
Yeah, see, pumped storage plant at the moment is an essential component of the grid of the country. Now, this particular asset can be used in many ways. But as far as our margin is concerned, of course, it will be a regulated margin. And but how we are going to use it, what model we'll be implementing for this, there are several options. Like, we can even combine this pumped storage plant with renewable energy assets, where we can have, intermittent power from the renewable energy, day power, which we can convert into round-the-clock power by using the pumped storage plants, and then finally supplying it to the consumers like who need round-the-clock power, like the railways and, you know, the other industries. The other could be that the grid stability, where the transmission system, whether it's a state transmission system or the national transmission system, because of some kind of overload or underload conditions, if we have to either inject the power or absorb the power, then these are the assets which can immediately come handy for this. So there are ancillary services where we can monetize the, these ancillary services for pumped storage plants. But what I'm trying to say is it's much different from the normal hydropower projects, where we generate electricity and we supply the electricity. It's not only generation alone, it's the conversion of electricity from one form to the other, and that could happen in many ways. It could assist the transmission system, it could assist the generators like the renewable power generators. It could also assist the DISCOMs, where DISCOMs are under stress. So this is how, these pumped storage plants are very, very useful. But in what manner we are going to use it, that will of course depend upon where this particular asset is situated and what could be the best use of that asset in that particular topography. So there are several options.
What kind of margins will we see in this kind of projects, like per megawatt or something? ROI?
Per megawatt cost, as I said, it would vary from anything between 6.5 crores to 8.5 crores per megawatt. That's the cost of development. As far as margins are concerned,
sir, ROE will be at the rate of 16.5% in case of hydro project.
In case of pumped hydro project,
16.5.
And these also include the escalation like we have in the normal project?
That will be on cost plus basis,
okay.
Similar to hydro project.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we have been handed to bid out renewable projects this year. So, what is the expected bidding from our side this year? And how much has been given and what all things are in pipeline?
Okay, so in fact, there are different modes. We have already bid out capacity of something like 1,000 megawatt under a CPSU scheme. But at the moment, recently we have bid out 3 gigawatt, that is 3,000 megawatt capacity. That is a part of the total 10 gigawatt capacity which we have to roll out this particular financial year. So 3 gigawatt, we already done it, and 7 gigawatt it will come gradually. That is the mandate which has been given to NHPC. And as soon as we finalize this capacity, then immediately we'll roll out the further tender for this.
So, of this 7, the entire tendering process is also yet to start?
For 3 gigawatt, we have already started tendering process. NIT has been floated. But one thing I want to clarify, that there will be no capex from our side. We will be just intermediary.
Understood. But we are confident of achieving 10 gigawatts this year.
Yes, yes, we are.
And sir, any update on Sawalkot tender?
Yeah, Sawalkot is a project in the pipeline, and there are certain last stage compliances and some kind of understanding with the state government, which is almost now through. We are ready with the tender document, and very shortly we'll issue the NIT for the civil works as well as the other packages for Sawalkot.
You mentioned that the control capex is around 109 billion. So what will be the standalone number?
Just a minute.
Just hold on for a minute.
5,700 crores.
5,700 crores. Okay. And sir, just a last question, if I may add. You mentioned that we might even look at monetizing ancillary services for pumped hydro storage. So how will it actually happen? So will it be on bilateral basis? Short-term, medium, long-term agreements, or will it be through exchanges?
Yeah, see, government has issued the guidelines now, and there are certain more guidelines which are in the making at the moment, where, you know, the developer of pumped storage plant would be free to enter into bilateral agreements with any of the industry directly, or the end user also. And he's also free to convert that power into either the peak power or round the clock power and sell it through the exchanges. So both the options are available, and this has been thrown open now, and this has been left to the market. So this is how it is going.
Okay. And so right now, can you see, is there any traction in the ancillary market to exchanges or even say bilateral market?
Yes, already we have started feeling the demand, and as you know, the compliances are getting stricter day by day. You know, this requirement of compliances on account of ancillary services are becoming more stringent, and because of which the importance and significance of this pumped storage plant asset is coming to fore.
Understood. If you can reveal this, so what can you quantify the bid that we are already quoting in ancillary market?
No, not that. I mean, nothing of that sort has been yet done. But see, first we are focusing on starting the project, and then we'll focus on what model will enter into the market.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Gopal Navandar from SBI Life.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Sir, I want to know the renewable projects which are, getting commissioned in FY24 and 25 and 26, and the projects we target to bid for our CapEx for the next 2-3 years.
I think we have a detail. Can you read
us? At present, we are working on one Kalpi solar power project, 65 megawatt, in our 100% subsidiary, that is BSUL. And then we are working in CPSE scheme, 1000 megawatt. Out of that, 300 megawatt is being constructed by Tata Power in Bikaner. That is sure for that will be commissioned current financial year. And rest of the capacity, 700 megawatt, will be commissioned in FY24-25. And we have just received a letter of award from Gujarat for 200 megawatt solar capacity, for which we are in the process of awarding EPC contract. So this is the solar capacity which is likely to be come up in FY23-24 and 24-25. One more, 188 megawatt floating solar project is being done by our subsidiary company, that is NSDC. That will also come up in current financial year.
And any target we have in terms of the bidding for every year for next 2-3 years?
Actually, we are keeping our return on equity at least 12%. So, in case we are able to achieve this 12% ROE, only then we will take solar projects. That's why we have not kept the high target for solar capacity. We are doing selective projects only.
Okay, sure. And sir, if you can just highlight some of these regulations which are going to come for next year, how do you see impact of these regulations on NHPC? Do you see any more incentives being given to hydro, or is there any expectations of return being cut or something, if you can just give some highlight?
In nutshell, we will be not loser on account of new regulations to come. There may be some benefit, but we are waiting for the draft regulations as of now. We have given our comments. We have demanded more return on equity, but that is to be seen.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Riya Mehta from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. In terms of pumped storage hydro budget, I think we have signed the MOU. So any concrete plans from when these revenues would start flowing, or what kind of opportunity are we seeing further on this? Because I think a lot of ordering is happening on the same. So what will be the revenue potential from this?
Yeah, see, as I said, these are the first memorandum of understanding with the state government, where we have agreed to develop these pumped storage plants in that particular state. Now, left to NHPC, now NHPC will start work on the ground. And the first thing is, of course, the investigation, what kind of project, what kind of scheme, and then how this scheme can be optimized on account of cost and timeline. So all these things will be done, and they'll be completed in maybe next 1 to 1.5 year time. Once that is complete, then we'll start the construction also. But before that, of course, there'll be another agreement with the state government where you know, the permissions for starting the construction and then finally fetching the power and then operating the plant in that particular state would be there. So and then the mode of operation of this pumped storage plant would also be decided there. So at the moment, we are at a very early stage, but yes, we have already set the ball rolling.
Okay. In terms of cost of borrowing, what would be your average rate?
Our average rate is around 7.7.
7.7.
Okay. As of now, it is 7.7.
7.7. And in terms of... So for the September, since we see torrential rains in the month of July as well, do we expect a little lower PLF or something like that?
In fact, there were a couple of plants which remained shut down for about a week or 10 days. But then because of the more water availability, we generated quite a good amount of energy in the month of July. So as far as PLF is concerned, PLF is not going to go down. But PF, certainly it got impacted because of the, you know...
Sorry, what got impacted? I cannot hear you.
PF, the plant availability.
Yeah.
Where the machines need to be available. That got impacted because the plants remained shut down for about a week or 10 days.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prashant Shirsagar from Univet Corporate Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up question, sir. Just wanted to clarify one thing, that you'd be preparing fresh DPRs and techno-commercial due diligence for Subansiri Middle and Upper now, or is it that you'll rely on the earlier DPRs and done by professional consultant EY?
No, see, NHPC is a very competent engineering organization. So we'll first update the DPR and review the DPR ourselves. And we'll try to optimize not only the cost of this, but rather the technical competence of the project also. So we will update the DPR completely, so for both the projects. So, of course, there will be guidance from the previous DPR, but not completely.
Not completely, okay. And you in the question and answer session, you mentioned the capital expenditure to be done for Subansiri Middle and Upper also. So what kind of capex is this, if you can help?
This is just, you know, the cost incurred on takeover of these two projects. See, because the earlier developers, they have spent a lot of amount on development of these projects. So there was a scheme of Government of India that whatever amount is visible on the site or which is meaningful at the moment can be reimbursed to them and the project can be taken over. So it is that capex which we are proposing now.
Thank you, sir. Also, the participant has left the queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that would be the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rupesh Sanke for closing remarks. Over to you.
Yeah, so we thank Mr. R.K. Vishnoi, sir, for giving us an opportunity to hold this call. And we also thank all the investors and the analysts for joining this call.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, who participated in this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.